Why don't we start off by singing, you know, Land of the Free or whatever it is.
Oh, whatever. Say, can you see?
No one knows the second.
I wasn't sure if we were going to keep that going.
Okay.
Probably not.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. I'm here with two very presidential fellows, Leander Keeney. Hey, Leander.
Hello, Governor.
And we are joined by Chris Forsman from Ars Technica, our good pal. Welcome back, Chris.
Also from the House of Lords.
Also from the House of Lords. A very English and a stately man, and I want to welcome you back to the show. It's been a long time since you've been on.
I missed you, fellas.
And you've been getting busy since you've been last on. congratulations on the pregnancy. That kind of sounds weird to say. Is that the way you congratulate a male on a child to be?
I think the proper phrase is way to knock her up.
Okay. Well, on your Facebook page, I said something along the lines of way to get her done, right? So,
yeah. Boy, did I ever.
And after I said it, I was like, you know, I don't know if that's going to offend your lovely lady. I hope it didn't. But
why would she find that offensive? There's nothing
offensive. I don't know. You know, some people are weird about that kind of stuff.
I was kidding.
But not
it's
Chris.
Really offensive. My God.
No, yeah. I guarantee I was not offended.
Okay, good.
Whether she was or not is another matter, but...
No, well, as long as you were, that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah, sometimes we just stick with don't ask, don't tell around here.
I do want to say, before we continue, this episode of the Cultcast is sponsored by the fine folks at audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, Audible. I don't know why I felt the need to say the whole URL there, but you should head on over to Audible and get your free audiobook, audiblepodcast.com/cultcast. You know, last time we did a promotion for Audible, I don't know if you remember this, Leander, we actually asked people to go check it out just to let them know that they were appreciative of Audible sponsoring the show. And it's funny, you guys must have done that in spades because they came back and they're like, we want to promote our products on your show, which I'm really happy about because I love promoting products that I actually use and I really like Audible. But we're going to tell you a little bit more about them later in the show. I want to do a couple of shout outs. I know we missed a few last time we did shout outs on the show because you guys sent so many, which was awesome. But we're only going to do a few. I want to give a shout out to Carlo Borja from the Philippines, David Ray Butler, and my personal favorite, Bomb Dog, at Bomb Dog on Twitter, is a character that I have half created, and his avatar is perfect. It's a big, giant, yelling, sweaty Steve Ballmer, and I'm so happy that someone created a Bomb Dog Twitter profile based on a character that's half made up. That made me very happy. So, and by the way, that's Ballmdogg. I'm not sure why they spelt it with
two M's.
What do
you mean you half made it up? What does that mean?
Well, you know, Steve Ballmer's a real character, but my excitable, you know, kind of like half fictional, really crazy Steve Ballmer version is named Bomb Dog. You've heard me talk about him on the show before.
Yeah. But you said
what's up, Bomb Dog?
Yeah.
Gotcha. But you're the one running this Twitter.
No, it's not. No, it's not me. I don't know who it is. That's the best part. It's like, and it's funny because I thought people were going to be like, oh, Arifon created it. It wasn't me. I don't know who it is, but their comments thus far have actually been really funny. So I hope whoever it is, I hope you keep it going because it's freaking funny. And I just thought it was funny that someone felt compelled to create a Twitter profile based on a fictional character that we've talked about on the show.
Okay, cool. He's been asking me to write a book about him on Twitter.
That's right. I thought it was
you.
No.
I was like, fuck off. Stop bothering me. I got work to do.
Which we know is not true, but
no, anyway. I know. But I'm pretending to work.
It's a great excuse to not do something you don't want to do. Hey, this is going to be a great episode. We're going to talk about all sorts of apps. It's cool. You know, when there aren't new Apple products to talk about, we actually get to talk more about things that are going on in the Apple ecosystem. So I'm excited to do that in the Apple ecosystem. That's hard for me to even say. Let's start with Instagram. Chris, you're an Instagram user, right?
I'm a mega Instagram user.
That's what I thought. And my guess is, Leander, that you're not.
I've used it once.
I wish you would tweet more pictures of you and your family.
I know, they're pretty fun.
So people can know the chaos that you survive in.
Yeah, I know, I should do it. I just don't have that Sharon gene.
Yeah, I know. I think it's kind of more of like
too English, too reserved. English reserve.
Well,
Instagram, my profile looks awesome, by the way, too.
So Instagram is starting to roll out, if they're not completely done, rolling out new web profiles, which is big, right? Because for a long time, Instagram only lived on your phone, and you really could only view images and comment on images and heart images on your phone. And now, if you go to Instagram.com/your username, there's this amazing looking web profile there, mm-hmm. and it shows all your pictures, and you can actually comment and like pictures. Chris, what's yours?
Yeah, what is
Chris? Mac.
Foreskin?
Oh, that's right. Oh, so Instagram.com/foresmac. And you guys should probably go follow Chris because he's a dude, nice avatar.
Yeah.
You got some good pictures on here.
Thanks.
Lots of, see, this is one of the things I love about Instagram, right? Is that, you know, on Twitter, it's like you get to say witty things and talk about, you know, bomb dog, but like you actually have pictures of Apple products here.
Yeah. So I did a lot of photography. Like I love doing product photography. So I did a bunch of stuff for our recent like iPod reviews and stuff like that. And so I Instagrammed some of them. And I'll be like, this is, you know, look for the story here, and here's some of the work I did for it. So,
did it drive traffic to it?
I don't track any of that. Like, we have a social media editor that does all that.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was fun to do, to like kind of give people a preview of what we were working on.
Well, I was looking. Yeah, I was really jealous of your photography because I sucked.
Well, you know what you need to do is you need to send it my way, Leander.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to get it up and out. We can't wait 3 weeks for you to get your ass in gear.
3 weeks? What do you think, I'm going to hurry?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking it would be cool to do like a feature on Cult of Mac that's just like kind of like Apple Prawn, you know? It's like you just take really high-res images of all these new products and post them on the website.
Mm-hmm.
I have some nice camera gear. We could do that. Hey, Chris, I like your tram photo here, too.
Yeah,
that's really good. So anyway, check out your new Instagram web profile, and I'm Airfon on Instagram. Chris is Foresmac, just like his Twitter name. And Leander, do you even know what yours is?
Well, Elkaney.
Now Elkaney, yeah.
Elkaney.
Oh, look, there's some stuff there.
I promise on Leander's behalf that if you start following him, he'll start posting more shirtless pictures of himself.
Well, look, I got 110.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I got 110 followers.
Huh. Whoa!
Didn't even know that.
That's pretty good for a guy who doesn't post images that often.
Well, these are like all my son's pictures that he's been taking and posting with my.
With your account?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, speaking of updates, we got another big update. Evernote got a giant iOS update. It's now in version 5. Chris, are you an Evernote user?
You know, I've never really got that into it. The ideal definitely appeals to me, and I have a lot of friends that use it, but I've just never jumped on the bandwagon. But I'm really sore because Evernote bought Sketch, and now I can't just use it to send, you know, to post, you know, upload little screenshots and pictures and things
online. I don't even know what Sketch is.
So
what is Sketch, or what was Sketch?
It was this little like screenshot app that you could use, and then it has little tools to like put arrows and text labels and little, you can draw little shapes. And I use it all the time, like to make screenshots for articles and things like that. And like, you know, you're like, or someone's like, how do I do this? I'll just take a screenshot of the preference panel and like click this button and draw a little arrow.
Well, I wonder if they're going to be building that into Instagram. I mean, why else would they acquire it?
Well, yeah, that's just it. Evernote bought it, and so they shut down the Sketch.com service, and now you have to upload images to Evernote to use it.
Oh, boy, you know, that is really handy. So for those who have never used Evernote, you know, like you, Chris, when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know why anyone would actually use this.
No, I get why people use it.
Oh, you do?
It's just, you know, like I just have like this thing, like, you know, I have to go and sign up and I have to download the app and I have to start using it and I have to like figure out how to like work it into everything I already do. I just have like this really like this anxiety about doing things like that. Like, I have to be all or nothing. And so since I'm not 100% behind it right this minute, I'm 0%.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. You're an all-in kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, I've been using it a lot, and the more I use it, the more I like it, because I use Chrome as my browser, and they have a Chrome extension. So you can, whatever web page you're on, you can press a little button that lives right in your browser, and you can save portions of that web page or the whole web page or the page address and dump it into a notebook, so that it kind of works as like a great way to track different websites that you either want to read later or just keep track of eventually, because you can tag stuff and leave notes on stuff. And you can also create like a public URL so other people can go to that page and view the things that you're adding to that different notebook. Mm. And the new iPhone app for Evernote is fantastic. They've totally redesigned the UI. It's much easier to use. And actually, I found that because you can have different notebooks that you store stuff in Evernote, that
I have
notebooks that I've never really used. And I didn't even really know they were there, because now that Evernote has redone their UI, they're much easier to find. So if you haven't tried Evernote, now is definitely a good time. It's free. The Mac app is great, and it's free as well, and everything is synced via the cloud, and they do give you a 60 megabyte limit to upload stuff. So if you're going to be uploading a lot of images, you might burn through that pretty fast. I have never gotten close to the limit, because all I'm doing is indexing, you know, websites that I want to come back to in the future. Actually, I do that for this show. When I see something interesting online, if the byline says Chris Forsman, boom, going into something we need to talk about. So it's a great way to keep track of stuff that you're viewing on the web. Do you guys have any other favorite productivity apps that maybe people don't know about or haven't heard of? Chris, what about you? You've got to have something.
I just honestly use like my iPhone for most of the stuff.
Do you use the Apple Reminders app and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I actually sync reminders and everything over iCloud and my calendar and notes and everything. But I a lot of times will use my iPhone to input the stuff. So like I love using iCal, but sometimes setting up something is kind of a pain in the neck on the desktop, mm-hmm. where I can just go into the calendar app on my iPhone and do it much faster. Or a lot of times I use Siri to do this stuff. So I just use Siri to set it. It's easier for me to just hit the home button and say it, and then it's
really?
Done. And I just
you
rely
use
on the
Siri for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, me too. But
really?
Cause it's really easy to say, you know, reminder and then he'd say something and invariably Siri gets it wrong.
Yeah.
But, it's close enough that you can figure it out when it pops up the reminder.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, I just have terrible ADHD. So, you know, I need something that's so friction free to get the information in there. And then I need it to be seamless that it just tells me when I need to know it. And so I just with iCloud and my iPhone and my iPad and my Mac, and they all talk together and they all have the same data set, that works.
That is a big benefit of using the Apple branded products. I mean, the iCloud integration is huge. I mean, when you have an iMessage, for instance, show up on every device at the same time, and they go away because you've answered it, you know, on one of your devices, that's a huge plus. Yeah. But there are some really good to-do applications out there. I just reviewed one.
Clear.
Sorry, go ahead. I was actually going to talk about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say Clear is one. I reviewed the original version when it came out on the iPhone. Or not really reviewed, but did kind of a hands-on thing for ours. That came out. Was that around Macworld, just after Macworld?
I think so.
And they just released a new Mac version, too, and it has the same kind of like iCloud-based syncing. So if you use Clear on your iPhone, then you can use it on your Mac. And then, you know, the great thing about, you know, the being able to sync these apps between desktop and your mobile devices is you don't have this like context thing where it's like, okay, if I want to set a reminder, I have to pull up my Palm Pilot, and then I have to sync it with my computer if I want to see it on my computer's thing. This, you know, that's how I was doing it a decade ago. But now, you know,
even five years ago, that's how I was doing it.
Right. So now it's just all automatic. You set it once wherever you are, whether you're at your office, in your desk, you can do it on your desktop, you're, you know, out at a party with friends, you need to remind yourself of something, do it right on your phone, whatever. And it's just
reminder, it's, have another beer. Reminder in 5 minutes, push notifications.
Yeah.
Repeat every 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. The cloud syncing is fantastic. And I think, especially for me, it's absolutely necessary in any type of to-do app. When I see an app that doesn't have it, I'm like, what is this bull crap? I can't use this. You know, like, what if I don't have my iPhone with me? What if I'm using my iPad? What if I'm on my Mac and my phone is, you know, in my bedroom? Like, what is this? It's child's play. That's my real feelings about it. You know what app I've really been using a lot that I've actually liked is an app called Productive, T-E-E-V, and it's free. And they have a desktop app and an iPhone app and really, really great UI, especially for the iPhone. And it lets you do push notifications and stuff. And it's all just like to-do stuff, you know, like to-do lists. But you can set different categories of to-do lists, and you can actually also assign them to one other person. And it's totally free. You know, the thing about Clear and in the Clear app is the Clear app in the App Store is $2, and the Mac app is $15. Mm-hmm. And you have companies like Productive, who actually just got bought by Jive, and their stuff is free. And then you have Wunderlist, which is super popular, and it's free. I mean, do you think that companies can survive by charging for these to-do apps, especially when Apple includes them for free, you know, in Mountain Lion as well? What do you think, Leander?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. You know, I never really got the point of the to-do apps because I spend more time, you know, putting in the information, all the metadata you got to put in and all the overhead. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, it'll pop up on my screen. I go, oh, yeah, I got to do that. And I dismiss it because I got to make a phone call. And then after the phone call, it's gone and I've completely forgotten what I'm supposed to be doing. So I don't know. I could never – like, my idea of a good to-do app is send myself an email.
But you get so many emails.
I know, but I'm going through – email is basically a big fat to-do app, right? Because you go through email and you go, okay, I got to do this, and then I got to respond to this, and I got to respond to – there's that story I was working on and that kind of thing, you know. So for me, that's the perfect to-do app, just send myself an email. And if I can't deal with it, I'll resend it. I'll just forward it again so it comes to the top of the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just find, you know, like all the overhead and all the work you got to put into the to-do apps, they just never really work for me. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm guessing, Chris, you've actually made, you know, you've got a pretty good workflow, right, that you've been able to incorporate them in?
Or you
No, well,
no, I'm a total space case. And just the what little I manage to use these tools that Apple provides is what keeps me from just like jumping off a bridge. I'm just so like... I can never keep up with what I have going on. It's crazy.
Yeah, but, yeah, me too. So many times. I've always wanted to do email bankruptcy. I'd love to do that.
What does that even mean?
Well, you know, just say, okay, I've done. That's it. I'm not using email anymore.
Well, then I'd have to tie a note to a pigeon and send it to California.
Yeah.
That'd be the only way I'd get a hold of you.
Well, what's his face?
My work email inbox has over 15,000 messages in it.
My gosh. And
I honestly like I delete a lot of stuff, and I would have to put in so much work to go through and be like, this I need to delete, this I can save, because sometimes you just get like it's almost how I work now with my desktop. I just throw everything in a folder.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I write for Ars just goes in a folder, and when I want to look something up, I just pop up Spotlight and type in some keywords, and it just gets me where I need to go. And I use email almost the same way. I just leave everything in the inbox. When you find, you know, when I'm like, okay, who was that contact? What was that thing Apple told me? You know, whatever. You know, I just type in some keywords and just find the email.
Right. Yeah. Me too. And I don't even delete anything, and I don't categorize anything. It just goes into this ever growing inbox.
Right.
That's funny because I keep my email somewhat organized, but it feels so disorganized. I just can't use it. I have to rely on some of the things because I feel like once my email inbox gets to 15,000 emails, I'm just like, screw it. I'm not going to even look through this. You know, like there's so many emails in there. It's like, where would you even begin?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's move on to another app, if you would. Sure. Actually, did you want to say one more thing, Chris?
I was just going to say, you know, as far as the cost is concerned, I mean, you know, if one to-do app covered everybody's needs, it's just, you know, like Leander gets it done with email. I get it done using, you know, calendar and reminders. You know, you use Evernote to keep track of all these things. You got, if one tool could do it for everyone, there would just be one tool. And if one tool was so great and it was free, everyone would just use that free one. But, you know, there's obviously Clear fills a need for some people. And you know, I mean, they obviously feel like their work is worth paying for. So,
right. Well, every time you look into
I think there's room for a lot of different solutions.
Yeah, that's definitely true. What are you going to say, Leander?
Well, every time you look into these, you know, every time I look at a to-do app, you get sucked into the world of GTD.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, my God. And it's like all these GTD fanatics, you know, and they're like, you type in, review to do clear or review flow. And then, you know, you get into a forum and there's all these people debating about all these different GTD specific features that one or another app doesn't support. And actually, the ones that get the best reviews are the GTD specific stuff, right? Mm. The ones that do the GTD stuff really well.
Yeah, and there's quite a few to-do apps out there that's kind of their thing, right? They're like, we're going to help you implement, get things done, which is what GTD stands for, if you guys don't know. And it's just the methodology of, you know, organizing your life so that you can actually be productive. I've tried it before, and I found it to be so boring. I'm just like, I don't want to dedicate this much time just to figuring out how to dedicate my time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, right, it's a big learning curve. I mean, I started looking
too. It's super huge. They have multiple books dedicated just to the topic of GTD.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy.
It's a huge waste of time.
That's the irony of GTD is that mm-hmm. by pursuing GTD, you have wasted your entire life.
Right. Well, most of it, yeah.
Well, I don't think that's true for everyone. It's just, like I said, it's a method. For organizing the madness, for some people it works.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Everybody, you know, everybody, like, their brain just works different. They think about things differently. Some people, like, you know, people, my girlfriend makes lists. Mm-hmm. She just makes lists of everything, mm-hmm. and that works for her.
Right. Yeah, some people like to have their books neatly organized on a shelf, and some people like to have them in a garbage bag in their living room. Hey, whatever works for you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Let's talk about Smart Glass, the new app that Microsoft just released for iOS devices. I think this is huge. Chris, do you have an Xbox?
I do.
Do you use your Xbox?
Not lately.
But you're familiar with the interface and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Leander, I'm assuming that you don't have an Xbox.
Well, my son does, and he was actually trying to get me to. He was trying to log into a smart glass with my email for some reason.
Okay.
So I had a quick look.
Well, let me.
I have a Kinect.
You do have a Kinect. Oh, correct. Yeah. Okay. And do you use Netflix on your Xbox and stuff?
No.
Oh, you don't. Okay.
Here's what I use my Xbox for. It's for playing.
Dance Dance Revolution.
No.
I swear, almost. I thought that's what you were just about to say, and I think I was close.
No, Just Dance. Just Dance. And I have some exercise apps that my girlfriend and I use
uh-huh.
to keep in shape.
Uh-huh.
And Karaoke Revolution, at Rock Band. It's pretty much Rock Band and Just Dance Machine is what I shouldn't even call it an Xbox.
Well,
it's
hey,
Rock
I mean...
Band and Just Dance Machine.
Those are some fun games. The dance one is actually really fun too.
Yeah, because we've got Roku. I've got three Rokus. Mm-hmm.
Three?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? Because I was getting the new ones. Check out the new features.
I don't even have three TVs. Do you have them all set up, or you mean just like two in a box?
No, we have one set up in the bedroom. We have Apple TV in the living room. We've got DirecTV. We've got Xbox. You know, I've got the Roku. I get my Netflix and my Amazon streaming, and I have a couple other things I watch on there. I have the NASA channel has a little NASA thing you can install and watch NASA stuff.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's like and then my girlfriend's son has a he's got a PlayStation, which he uses to watch next. He plays PlayStation games, whatever, and to watch Netflix. But now he got a new computer. And he just sits in his office and watches stuff on YouTube. Like, he doesn't even watch TV. He doesn't watch Netflix. He just watches this, like, ridiculous show where some really annoying loudmouth kid plays games and, like, yells and screams and makes annoying comments while he plays the games.
YouTube, especially for young people, is amazing. an amazing thing to observe, right? Because there's all these shows you're like, this is crap. Like, why do kids watch this? And they love this, it, right?
Yeah, I'm like, this entertains you?
Yeah, you're like, it's taking every ounce of my energy not to throw that machine out the window or against the wall.
It honestly, I'm fine with it. It keeps him occupied and out of trouble. It just bothers me when he doesn't shut the door to the office, because then you just hear these annoying. I mean, it's some young guy, you know, maybe a teenager, maybe like early 20s, and he plays these games. Uh-huh. So it's like a split screen of him on a webcam and then the game on another part of the screen, and it's just like going the whole time. I mean, just
out. Isn't anybody?
The more you describe it, the more I'm like, I actually think I might want to watch that.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like my kind of TV.
Well, hey, let me back up and bring us back to Microsoft Smart Glass.
Oh, there was a point to this.
Since we mentioned the name, but we never, in fact, said what it does or why you should care about it. So, Smart Glass is a new application. You can put it on your iPad, you can put it on your iPhone, and it allows you to do a bunch of cool things. I think this is going to be a big deal for Xbox. So, first and foremost, I think the coolest thing about it is it turns your iPad or your iOS device into a remote control for your Xbox. You know, previously you had to have like a chat pad to enter text easily, or you'd be scrolling past those screens of letters with your Xbox controller and selecting letters that you want to use to create sentences. I mean, just describing it sounds tedious. The Smart Glass app lets you control your Xbox. You can scroll through, you know, options. You can scroll through screens. You can scroll through movies in your Netflix app. It allows you to launch applications. You can start and stop movies with your iPhone now. It's pretty awesome. It also lets you interact with your Xbox Live friends, so you can look at their avatars. You can change your own avatar's attire. You can send messages to people through the Xbox Live system, which is awesome because I never used that before because it was so hard to input text into your Xbox, and now it's much easier. I think this is going to be a really huge deal, and it's actually interesting to me. I'd like to get your guys' perspective that Microsoft brought this to iOS, because normally this type of feature would be, you know, reserved for Windows Phone, right? It would be something that Microsoft would want you to, or they would pitch it to you in order to make you be like, oh, I should get a Windows Phone. But it kind of seems to me like they're really going after, you know, everybody and trying to use this application to foster the sales of Xboxes and kind of really bridge that gap between Apple users and Microsoft users, you know, because now your devices can live in harmony. Do you guys think that, you know, people using the Smart Glass app would be more inclined to maybe buy Microsoft products because now they're getting to interact with it in iOS? Chris?
You know, that's hard to say. Like, it's not like I'm not excited to run out and use it because, you know, like I said, the Xbox is my rock band and Just Dance machine. So it's the thing that, you know, I get out when no one else is at home and I can just crank it up and be really loud and take over the living room, or, you know, if I have people over and want to do kind of a fun, goofy party thing. So I'm not sure. It doesn't really appeal to me, but I think it's smart on Microsoft's part, because it you're right. It could have easily been one of those things where, like, okay, this is going to be this cool thing we do on Windows Phone. But I think that they also see the problem in that being that, you know, Windows Phone right now has like maybe 2-3% smartphone market share. It's not very much.
Boy, is it that low? I didn't realize it was that low.
It's just a few percentage points. I mean, you know, and when you think about it, you know, how many, when they think about Xbox users, how many of them are more likely to have an iPhone or iPad or some kind of Android device?
Right. Yeah. That's a great point. Much higher. Yeah. No one's going to go out and buy an Xbox because it's got a Smart Glass app.
I don't know. I mean,
they buy it for the games. They buy it because it runs Halo or, you know, some other game they want. Mm-hmm. And like Chris says, it, you know, that Microsoft has just been smart and recognizing that most people have got iPhones, and it adds value to the Xbox, right, if you have this.
It's a smart value add, and I think it's smart to make it a value add that appeals to a lot of users instead of just the small number of potential Windows Phone users.
I agree with you, and I want to applaud Microsoft for doing it, because I mean they could have just made this Windows only. In fact, they were selling some Windows only or some Windows phones that had features like this before Smart Glass was announced, and I was like, man, that looks like a really cool feature to be able to control your Xbox with your phone. You know, because doing it with your controller when you're not playing a video game can be kind of clunky.
Well, Apple's had this for a while for the Apple TV, and you know, to be honest, I keep forgetting it's there. Don't you, Chris? Do you forget, you know, to control your Apple TV?
Yeah, I do forget sometimes.
I forget. I'm always going for the little silver one, and it's not too bad. But, you know, every time you've got to enter a password or something, it's painful. And I get halfway through it, and I go, oh, wait a second. I'll do it with the iPad. But then I have to go find the iPad because the kids have got it, or my iPhone or something like that. You know, so I don't know. You know, I just keep forgetting it's there. Mm-hmm.
I got to say, the one thing I don't like about it so far, I've been using it, and this is a problem with any type of Wi-Fi, you know, controller that lives on your iPhone and that uses the network to control your devices, is the lag to connect. You know, when you turn your iPhone on and you launch Smart Glass, it connects. It usually takes like 5 seconds. And let's say you're watching a movie and you put your phone down and eventually your phone goes dark, right? Because you're not using it. Well, then when you turn your phone back on, it takes another 5, 6, 7 seconds to connect. And it's like, who wants to wait that long, right? I mean, if it was instantaneous, I think this could replace normal controllers. But that connection speed makes me just not want to use it.
Right.
Hey, let's talk about our sponsor, Audible. Chris, I think you're going to like this. Every night...
Lay it on me.
You know, every night when you call me and I read you that chapter from the romance novel we've been going through before bed, and I certainly enjoy that time.
Sir, it's so relaxing, really.
It's relaxing for me, too. I find reading romance novels to you at night to be a very relaxing thing to do. But
well, and you have such a soothing voice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, your voice is soothing, too. I bet you'd be great at reading romance novels to full-grown men. But let me tell you a little bit about Audible, because since you like being read to, I think you might be interested in this. Audible is the web's premier service for getting audiobooks. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why would I really want to listen to audiobooks? I think the answer is clear. You know, sometimes you just don't have time to read. You know, you're at the gym, you're driving. Those are both times when I like to listen to books because, you know, I have nothing else to do. I, like most people of my generation, have a hard time not multitasking when I'm doing certain things. And being in the car, being at the gym, doing something where I literally can do nothing else is a great time to intake some audio. And Audible has so many great titles for you to choose from. They have every genre you could possibly imagine. They have over 100,000 titles to choose from. And actually, I have been, I'm kind of a history buff, but my thing is I never actually read history books because I feel like it's kind of like a waste of time. I don't know why. It's like I'm not being productive because I'm just reading about history, but I do love listening to history books. And you guys may have heard of this book. It's called Team of Rivals. Yeah, have you heard of it?
I have not.
About Lincoln?
It's about Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. So you guys know there's this huge movie coming out called Lincoln, and the book has nothing to do with that, but it's a great historical book about Abraham Lincoln, and it does a really good job of portraying Lincoln as a man who's not just living in history, you know, because like these historical figures can sometimes just be like these guys who lived in the past and you don't really, you know, connect with them in any way. But it paints a wonderful portrait of who he was as a person and the struggles that he dealt with. And it talks about him and other rivals, political rivals, you know, at that time that he had to live with. It's a wonderful book. I'm just kind of starting it, so I still have a long way just to go. But it's written by Doris Kearns Goodwin. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like, you can get this book, this audiobook, or pretty much any other audiobook on Audible for free. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, and you'll get a free 30-day trial to Audible. And that includes a free audiobook of your choice. You get a romance novel if you'd like, Chris. I know you like those.
I would like.
You can scroll thousands of romance novel covers and pick the best looking one. You know, maybe a picture of Fabio is going to be on the front. I don't know. Holding a bottle.
One may help.
But I encourage you to try it out. It's a really wonderful service. And I mentioned this last time, and I'm going to say it again because it seemed to to resound with you guys. Just check it out. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cultcast, because when you go to the URL, you're letting Audible know that you appreciate them sponsoring our ridiculous show and that you want us to continue. And it was powerful. Last time you guys did that and Audible came back and, you know, they wanted to advertise on multiple shows. And that was because you guys went to the URL. Some of you bought some stuff, which was awesome. And, you know, even if you decide that you don't want to stay with the service, you get to keep that audiobook for free. It works on any MP3 player. So if you got an old Zune laying around, you can still use that book, you know, if you decide not to continue with the service. Sure. Check it out. Thank you for visiting that URL and letting Audible know that you care about Cultcast, because Cultcast cares about you.
This is true.
That might be the best promotional finish ever. Don't you agree? At least in our short history.
Yeah,
certainly.
Definitely improves on everything you've done before.
Well, that's not hard to do.
Oh, hey, that's why I said it.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
You wrote a couple of pieces on Ars Technica recently. And I thought we should wrap up with these because they're really interesting. At least I thought they were.
Thank you.
Actually, let's start with this one. I'm not sure we'll have time to get to both, but you wrote about Google not being optimistic that Apple will approve its upcoming iOS map apps, mm-hmm. which I thought was fascinating because, you know, I've given the Apple Maps app a lot of praise. I know, Leander, you have too.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
I do too. But, you know, ironically, I've started actually having a lot of problems with it lately. I was using it in the last week, and I've had at least two or three instances where it took me places that I could not go. Like, it's like, take a left on this street, and I'm like, this street's one way. I can't go this way. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was left on my own, you know, trying to figure out where I was going. So now I'm a little warmer to the idea that we do need Google Maps on Apple in the App Store. So, Chris, what do you think? Do you think that it's feasible that Apple would actually reject a Google Maps app?
You know, it's certainly possible, but I think it's more. I really get the feeling it's just kind of Google, kind of bloviating a little bit about it, and making a big deal out of it to kind of set Apple up to look like jerks if they don't do it.
Ooh, I like this theory.
I mean, that's just what it feels like because, you know. There's really no knowing until they actually submit it. So I would say, like, you know, shut up and ship it. Get the thing done. You know, don't talk Damn. About how you might or might That's not hard. Do it, or talk about Apple might or might not approve it.
Right.
Do it. You know, like, make it. And you know, and then worry about the fallout. But you know, I don't know. Apple has a lot of other apps in the App Store that use, you know, Google Map data. There's tons of other mapping apps. I don't think there's a fear that Apple's just going to strike it down just because it might, you know, quote unquote, duplicate some functionality of the Maps app, you know, which was something that Apple used a lot in the early days of the App Store.
Well, not to mention there's a whole category in the App Store now that says Maps. It's
right.
Like, you know, Tim Cook was like, you can try all these different, you know, other apps if you don't like our map
sure.
solution. Like, why would they all of a sudden go now and say, oh, but not Google? That's the one that we're actually not going to allow.
Right. Right.
And imagine how cool a Google app could be, right? Because they kind of, it was kind of disabled in a way when it was being produced by Apple because they didn't allow Apple to use their, you know, like, their Maps API in a way that let them do live navigation.
Right.
Which was something that Android has had for at least a year now, right?
Well, this is one of the reasons why Apple developed their own solution to begin with, is because Google had basically limited them from using some of the more advanced features, like the vector-based map tiles or the map data. You know, basically, Apple couldn't get any access to that. So if they wanted to improve the Maps experience, they had to come up with their own data source, or an alternate data source at any rate. And so, but you know, I mean, honestly, I think it's just kind of Google, like, making a big stink about it. And, you know, just do it. Just make the app, you know, because, you know, maybe Apple will reject it. But, you know, if they do, it's just going to make them look bad. And then it's just a win for you. But the thing is, you know, that people, especially, I mean, a lot of users that relied a lot on Maps, especially for transit directions, for instance, or some other things, You know, I love the turn-by-turn navigation. And, you know, knock on wood, so far it hasn't been a problem at all for me.
In the Apple Maps app.
Right. And I've noticed in the last few weeks that a lot of the data has really improved lately. Like, I keep an eye on my own neighborhood, and, like, I submit all these corrections, and Apple's been taking them or whatever they do with them. They're definitely making improvements. But Google kept a lot of this stuff away from Apple, so they could keep it exclusive on Android. And if they're gonna bring it to iOS, then just do it. I just think it's a waste of time to keep talking about it, making all these chest thumping stances about it. Just do it.
Now I feel bad for bringing it up. I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel like you're speaking directly to me during that soliloquy.
No.
Okay, cool.
Are you a developer for Google? Are you making
you didn't know app? I you didn't know I worked for Google Maps?
This is news to me.
I'm the product manager there. You probably should have told you that before I asked you the question. Leander, real quick, do you think it would be an Apple move to block a Google competing app?
Well, they did it before.
With what?
With voice.
Google Voice. They wouldn't let that in because it was repeating the core functionality.
Oh, right.
And what's good, it's so important, the mapping interface to the smartphone, that you can see, this is why Apple had to go ahead and do its own solution. I think on top of what Chris was saying about Google, maybe blocking certain functionality and not only allow them to do what they wanted with it, I think it's so important for everything that the smartphone does, like location services, advertising, people use it all the time to find things. It's the most important interface, I think, probably after the phone itself. Mm-hmm. I can sort of see them trying to, block Google from getting on there. It's already the default app for a lot of people. And if they continue to offer it, then theirs is never going to get the traction they want. Hmm. Especially with all these trouble, but I don't know.
There's still benefits to using the built-in maps because you've got the Siri integration. So if you ask for directions, Siri's going to look at maps. They're not going to look in a Google app. They're going to look in maps, right?
Right, and we all know how well Siri works. Yeah.
Yeah, especially for me. POS.
I know. Yeah, that is a good point. It doesn't, it doesn't have the same level of integration. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of antitrust stuff, but I think, there's trouble they can get into if they do block it. But,
I was thinking too.
Well, but, I can't, Apple's big enough and has got enough of a big swing in, it's a big enough to like not really worried about that until it comes up. I don't think they would, they would definitely, it would come up in the meetings and they would discuss it, but then they would be like, let's go ahead and do it. I mean, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's wrap up with this, guys, because I know somebody's alarm going off. I think, Leander, you're going to need to go in here.
Yeah, I got to do a call. Yeah.
There's a rumor that Samsung is set to rebrand to be more like Apple, and they're going to announce their rebranding at CES 2013.
I'm going to be there. We're all going to be there.
Because I kind of feel like the Samsung identity stuff is really kind of butt ugly. I'll be honest. I think it looks terrible.
Okay.
And
but,
you're creating
but
gadgets that are supposed to be sexy. I mean...
But let's be fair, though. I mean, the last thing they need right now is to be copying Apple even more.
Well, you don't think a pear with an apple taken a apple or a bite taken out of the side is going to be copying Apple?
Yeah.
The Samsung pear. Right. I don't know what they're going to come up with. They would be absolutely, the biggest idiots if they did anything that resembles Apple in any way. Like they cannot have anything with a bite taken out of it, period.
Right. Nothing. If they use Myriad as their corporate identity font, it's clearly obvious that Samsung has a hardcore Apple envy, and it's been obvious for a while. And you can totally see why Apple is incensed and why they're, sticking with these lawsuits for the last couple of years. It's not like there's no reason for it. And I've heard a lot of gripes from, maybe Android supporters or whatever, or people that just don't really care for Apple. And I hear all the gripes. And sometimes I think they're legitimate, but a lot of times I think it's just, you got to understand, if I feel I can empathize, and I'll tell you why. The one time I was in, when I was in college, we had these groups for our physics class to do all the labs. And there was this kid who came in, and half the time he would come into the lab, but he wouldn't do any of the work. Then we were supposed to meet after class to do the lab write-up, and he would never show up, or he'd show up late or whatever. And it ended up just being me and a friend did all the work. We did all of it. And so by the, like, the third or fourth lab, this guy didn't even, he didn't come to class during the lab. He didn't come to do any of the work on the write-up. We did it ourselves. We submitted it without his name on it. And, you know, he threw a big fit about it. And he's like, why wouldn't you put my name on it? It's like, because you didn't do any of the work.
Okay, this is twice now that I feel like you've been talking directly about me.
Dude, you weren't in this class. How could I possibly be talking about you? Did you cheat in your physics class and just make someone else do all the work?
No, I did not. I was more like you, man. I'm a hard worker. I was in there every day slaving away. And I always hated those guys who just didn't show up.
Right.
And then they're like, dude, just put my name on it. It's not a big deal. Trying to make you feel like the jerk.
Yeah. So I mean, I see why Apple's upset about it. And I just feel like it would just be monumentally stupid for Samsung to try to do anything where it just makes them look more like Apple.
Well, you know, in our eyes, but they have been remarkably successful copying Apple. They got to be the number two player in a two-player market. It hasn't hurt them at all. It's totally propelled them to the, you know, to right onto Apple's heels. And in fact, isn't the Samsung Galaxy the biggest selling phone now today?
Well, I think there's some preliminary data suggests that the Galaxy S3 sold better than the iPhone. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you think that is, you know, if they have been hurt by copying Apple, I mean, $1 billion lawsuit was a very, very small price to pay to get a foothold into this multi-billion dollar market.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's totally smart. And in fact, and you're looking at, and the real growth is in Asia, is in China. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is why Apple's opening up stores in China and is expanding its operations there like crazy. And, you know, I think it would do Samsung, you know, wouldn't hurt Samsung at all to be confused with Apple in markets like that.
Yeah. Well, I know too, like you were saying with Asia, like I just saw this thing the other day where the iPhone 5 was released in India, and I saw a report, like a newscaster from India was just like, I can't believe it. People are lining up to buy a phone. This never happens in India.
That is surprising for India.
Yeah. And especially with the iPhone being such a, like a high end expensive product, you know, there's just not, you know, there's just the fact of the matter. There's a lot of people in India that don't have a lot of money to spend on a phone.
Well, there's a big middle class in India. It's a big, big country. China, too. You know, I mean, these are massive countries.
Mm-hmm. They really are.
And they're growing economies. Brazil, all of these upcoming nations, I mean, they still have, you know, there's still problems with poverty, but they're also very, very fast growing economies with a lot of people getting a lot of money. I mean, you know, I was reading about Land Rover. Land Rover these days, it's an Indian company, and they're selling, you know, they're selling in India and China. Mm-hmm. That's where their growth is coming from. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people there with a lot of money to spend, including like a lot of middle, you know, millions of middle class citizens.
I think it's something like 60% or more of Apple's revenues come from outside the U.S.
Right, and this is where their future growth is going to come from. I mean, people talk about Apple is so big now that it can't grow. That's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be such a, you know, I mean, if things continue the way they are, and I can't see them derailing, it's going to be so unbelievably huge. Because I think it's going to, you know, they're going to have the same success in China and India and all these emerging markets in Brazil that they're having here. And, you know, there's so much room to grow. It's mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling. Wise words to end on. That's a great place to stop.
Okay.
Thank you for being on the show today, Chris. I really enjoyed having you on.
Definitely.
And hey, you know, if you guys like the stuff you've been hearing today, you should follow Chris on Twitter. He is at ForesMac, ForesMac.
Yeah, you know me.
I always add a daddy at the end of that because that's what he is to me. L. Kaney, LKAHNEY on Twitter. I'm at Airfawn. And actually, you can hop on our Facebook page if you want to interact with us. It's facebook.com/TheCultCast. You can suggest topics. You can win licenses to cool software. So much fun stuff happening there. I want to thank Audible for sponsoring the show. Head over to audiblepodcast.com/CultCast. Get your free audiobook. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. We will catch you guys next time. All right, Landy, you got to go be on CNN?
Yeah.
I got a jet too.
All right, cool. Thank you, Chris. Hey, let's not wait another 6 months before you're on again.
Definitely.
Yeah. I want to have you on multiple times a week.
Okay.
Let's start a new show with me. This one's going down quick.
Okay.
All right. See you guys.
All right. See you guys.